Well, to tell us more about this sensational story, I am on the line with senior investigative journalist at the City Press, Mr. Abram Mashego. Mr. Mashego, good evening. Welcome to the program.
Good evening, Karima and Elizabeth.
Well, compliments of the season to you. Abram, this is, of course, a very, very important story. We here have an international fugitive who explained that he had already paid in advance for asylum and that he used President Zuma's son, Duduzani, as the go-between. But he also was used as a cash cow in some instances to pay for certain things to go away. And he was given the assurance by President Zuma, according to his affidavit, that the president will speak with the Home Affairs Minister, Malusi Gigaba, to arrange the paperwork. Now, in your story, you say that Mr. Gigaba rejects with contempt the allegations that Mr. Kretcher makes in his affidavit. Now, you've been dealing with a lot of these individuals, Abram, and your contacts in the Hawks and in the criminal justice system is quite phenomenal. Is Mr. Gigaba telling us the truth that he never got instructions from President Jacob Zuma to fix papers for Mr. Kretcher to get some kind of asylum and safe haven in South Africa?
Look, it's the truth is only known by Gigaba himself or Jacob Zuma.
And of course, we both of them has to go to the Zondo Commission of Inquiry. We see, of course, that Mr. Kretcher was an incredibly powerful man who had extensive access. Have you been able to speak with Duduzani Zuma to confirm Mr. Kretcher's explanation of the relationship, that he bought Mr. Duduzani Zuma a motorbike and they would race, at Kyalami? I see you've also quoted Mr. Mo Sheikh, who was the then head of the South African Secret Service, who actually warned Mr. Zuma that this is an unhealthy relationship because Kretcher is, in fact, a wanted fugitive. Just explain the dynamic between what your story says about what Mr. Sheikh advised Mr. Zuma about and how Mr. Zuma apparently responded to this matter.
Mr. Moshik found out that of this relationship, which was facilitated by the late Cyril Bika.
Yes.
And there was a bit of a fallout, and he even took it upon himself to go and report this matter to the president. And after speaking to the president then advised him to go and speak to the Duduzani, and he sat him down and explained about the reputational risk of him being associated with Radovan Kretcher. The issue of their relationship has been verified. I know from so many people that indeed
yes.
it exists.
No, I can attest to that as well. I know about the relationship as well, and I know about the concerns that there were that the president, the former president's son, was consorting with someone who was a known fugitive. So that part of the story has certainly been around for a long time. What is interesting, of course, is that your story says that Mr. Zuma was informed about this and warned about the implications of this, but then you go on to say that Mr. Zuma actually, according to Mr. Kretcher, promised to sort him out, to make him feel safe in South Africa by getting the papers. Now, that is, of course, the crux of the matter, and surely Mr. Zuma should be put to the test of the strength of this affidavit.
Indeed, I'm sure we'll see this when they appear before the Sondo Commission, if that happens, or if they are asked about that those allegations. You have a situation where Kretcher was running away from the Czech Republic. He comes to South Africa. You know, he has applied several times for the asylum, and it was rejected. And I am of the view that he then escalated this matter to the highest office, which mm-hmm. was then the office of the former president.
How did he do that, Abram? How did you find out that he was able to access the president? How does a fugitive from the Czech Republic access the president, the then sitting president of South Africa?
According to my information, Crecher met with Cyril Biker. After he met with Cyril Biker, and then he asked for this assistance from Biker, and Biker couldn't help, and then he then introduced him to Dudusani. And then Dudusani, as we know, is the son of the former president. He's the one who was then the alleged go-between if anything that is contained in that affidavit is true. Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, this is not the first time that someone implicates Mr. Duduzane Zuma in an affidavit. We have Nwako Ramatlodi doing it. We have the former Deputy Finance Minister Jonas doing it, saying that Mr. Duduzane Zuma was essentially the bagman for his father. Story that appeared that Mr. Zuma met with several known gangsters in Cape Town says that Mr. Duduzane actually signed them in to the presidential residence in Cape Town. So Mr. Duduzane isn't for the first time embroiled in a controversy by linking his father to sets of dodgy characters. So what Mr. Crecher says, do you believe that it's true? I mean, this is a criminal. This is a fugitive. Lots of people say desperate things when they are in desperate situations. But Duduzane Zuma does have a history. Many people have accused him under oath in affidavits of setting up relationships and being the middle person and getting his hands dirty. Do you believe Mr. Crecher when he says that Mr. Duduzane Zuma was the one who then managed to get him an audience with the then sitting president of the Republic of South Africa?
Good question, Karima. You know, I was doing the story, when I was investigating the story, I took that into account that we are dealing with a criminal here who can say whatever he can say. She may believe or hope that could have sort his problems go away. But we have a president who has been accused of corruption on a number of occasions. And then the important aspect of it was, okay, does this guy ever have access to the president or his son that we know that on a number of occasions has facilitated meetings on behalf of his father or his friends? Mm-hmm. So that was one of the questions that we took into account. Then there was the issue of the recording. Mm. I'm sure that anyone wouldn't just give 2.5 million and not have any form of some recording or some
record of it. Yes.
Yeah.
What did he show you? What did Mr. Crecher show you or your sources show you? Did you see any records that indicate that 2.5 million was in fact paid?
Look, according to his affidavit, he alleges that he even has the recording. Then I checked with the sources in crime intelligence as well as the Hawks. They say that there is this existing recording that is now forms part of the investigation, as part of the evidence.
Mm.
So you have a situation where a person says, I've got a recording, and he puts that in an affidavit, and he requests the law enforcement agencies to investigate this. If there wasn't any recording of that case, I'm sure my sources would have told me that, no, it doesn't exist. But now they're saying it exists. And then we have on the other side, there is that relationship and then there is that link. So it's for the public to judge, and it's going to be up to the law enforcement agencies to verify the authenticity.
Absolutely. We tried to get the IPED spokesperson, Moses Dlamini, to speak to us. And this is what he said in the pre-interview to my producer. He said, our investigation is focusing on the role of the police, but we're also aware of other allegations that fall outside of our mandate. He stated that IPED is aware of the allegations against former President Jacob Zuma. However, they are unable to investigate that matter as it falls outside of their mandate. He also stated that he can't come on to explain the state of the investigation at this stage because it is, of course, at a sensitive stage. But we know that Mr. Robert McBride, for example, has long argued that there needs to be a full investigation. Can you tell us, Abram, what your sources in IPED tells you? Are they investigating this matter? Are they looking at this matter? And how far are they? What information do you have about IPED's involvement in looking at how this matter has been dealt with?
Look, the IPED investigation deals specifically with the allegations that have been made against the officers who were involved in this investigation. And we know, of course, that the name of Nkosana Akhila Gwimba, the now head of security for the Ekurhuleni mayor,
yes,
Sandile Masina. His name there, he's part of the people that is being investigated on those allegations of
Give us his name again, Abraham, and tell us this police officer who's being investigated by IPED is now the chief security officer for the mayor of Ekurhuleni, Mr. Masina. Did you contact Mr. Masina and tell him that IPED is investigating his head of security? Did he have any comment to make on this matter? Because we know that he was a very close associate of President Jacob Zuma. He was also very closely associated with the campaign of Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma. And he, of course, also said that he wouldn't serve under President Cyril Ramaphosa. He has now, of course, flipped and changed his mind. But his security officer is now implicated in what could be a potentially a crime of massive proportions.
Look, when I read the affidavit, you know, it deals with Killer Gwimba, and these events are preceding the time of his appointment at Ekurhuleni as head of the security for the mayor. So I saw no need for me to be approaching the mayor,
yes,
and questioning him about the about this guy now.
So are you saying the mayor inherited this chap?
Well, I don't want to say yes or no, Karima.
Okay. All right. But I think it is an important issue. We will certainly ask the mayor of Ekurhuleni if he's aware that his chief of security is being investigated by IPED for being linked to how this investigation was handled. But what are your sources in crime intelligence telling you? Are they saying that Mr. Kretcher has backup for what he's saying?
Look, my sources are talking about this recording, which could compromise the former president and his son. So, and then that investigation also is at an advanced stage. So, whenever there's a development, we'll be running a follow-up to update the readers.
Now, the issue that Mr. Moshek had gone to the president and warned the president, and the president saying to Mr. Sheikh that he must go and sit down with Mr. Duduzani Zuma and explain to him. We see in your story that Mr. Kretcher then says Duduzani starts making less and less contact with him. But he blames that on the Guptas. But, I mean, it's an irony that Mr. Zuma, according to the affidavit, is said to have spoken to with Mr. Sheikh when the affidavit says clearly that Mr. Duduzani Zuma actually put his father in touch with this individual and that according to his affidavit, the president made promises to secure him.
Yes, indeed, that is the case.
The investigation, I know that law enforcement agencies are always hesitant, Abram, to tell us the stages of where this is at. But, I mean, this could mean more charges for Duduzani Zuma. It could certainly mean charges for President Jacob Zuma. Duduzani Zuma is supposed to cross-question or cross-examine some of the witnesses at the Zondo Commission. That means he, of course, has to appear there. And this just kind of stacks the case up against him. We know the Zondo Commission starts tomorrow. We don't have the order of who is going to be appearing there. But it will be very interesting to see what exactly Mr. Duduzani Zuma is going to be saying to us around this issue.
Look, you know, right now, during the investigation, as you are aware, then the matter and the evidence will be then presented to the NPA. And the new head will be starting very soon. So it will be interesting what decision the NPA will be taking. So for now, I do think that maybe we could be, let's not run ahead of the event. Let's wait for the NPA and the investigators to put their docket together and present it to the NPA for them to decide if there is a case or for Duduzani and his father to answer or not.
Abraham, Mr. Kretcher has been in jail for a while. He has quite a lot of connections. He is an incredibly powerful individual. But he also comes from a country where you have a lot of former security people freelancing. Some people have alleged that former President Jacob Zuma has very close ties to some of these individuals. In the course of your investigation, what else have you been able to establish in relation to Mr. Zuma's relationship with people from the former Eastern European countries? Some people are saying that apart from the people that were especially appointed in the police and in the criminal justice system to protect Mr. Zuma, people like Richard Mdluli, people like Burning in Tlemeza and others, Mr. Zuma also has access to international players on this level. Does Mr. Kretscher form part of that kind of access that Mr. Zuma is said to be having?
You know, according to my information, I think that for Mr. Kretscher, it was just a monetary issue because it was a transaction. Yeah, that was a transaction. He's coming from a very wealthy family. I think he's the fourth richest in the Czech Republic. If information still remains the same.
So he's
coming from a very fairly wealthy family. So
he certainly had the cash to be able to bribe his way out of a situation. Now, I mean, if one looks, for example, at the mess that was made of the application for citizenship and naturalization by the Guptas, then Kretscher's statement in his affidavits doesn't sound far-fetched at all. And I mean, Mr. Gigaba has certainly not given us a credible explanation for how the Gupta family, for example, became members of the South African population and naturalized citizens, some registered to vote. I mean, up until today, we don't know which Gupta is actually a South African citizen and which isn't. And of course, all of this was fast-tracked through Mr. Gigaba at Home Affairs. So Mr. Kretscher's a contention that he paid this money and that he was assured that Mr. Gigaba was going to smooth the way for him is consistent with what we've seen in the cases of the Gupta, certainly.
Look, I think that we'll soon be getting the answers probably this year when they appear before the commission.
But do you think that Mr. Gigaba has, for example, said that he wasn't going to resign from cabinet, then he resigned from cabinet. He's fingered in the report on Eskom as being the great enabler. He was removed, he resigned from cabinet, he's back in the ANC. Do you think he's going to actually come forward and tell the truth?
I think that at some stage, if he's pressed with the right questions, I think that right now he will see.
All right. Thank you very much. That is the senior investigative journalist at the City Press, Abram Mashego, who, of course, wrote this explosive story where Mr. Radovan Krejcik says that he paid 2.5 million to buy his asylum papers in South Africa. It's just gone 9 o'clock. It's time for Eyewitness News. I know he doesn't have a lot of time. Mr. Sheikh, good evening. Welcome to the program. I know that as the former head of state security, you are, of course, bound by the Official Secrets Act, so there isn't a lot that you can say. But if you are called to the Zondo Commission of Inquiry, just legally from where you are sitting, will you be able to tell us exactly what you told Mr. Zuma when you learned about his relationship of his son, Mr. Duduzani Zuma, and Mr. Kretscher? Will you be able to have the legal freedom to speak freely about that? And if you are asked to go to the commission, will you go?
Well, thank you, Karima, for the ambush.
My apologies. It's my job.
I know it's your job, and I appreciate that very much. Let me just say that I would, if I'm called before the commission, I would consider it my duty as responsibility as a citizen of this country to to disclose whatever I have to disclose to the commission.
Mm-hmm.
Legally, the commission would have to find a way in which we can provide this information without opening ourselves up for any prosecution in the of the Official Secret Act. But I'm confident that the commission is more than able and capable of getting around that particular problem.
Absolutely, because of course the issue of the commission is the heart of the commission. The reason why it exists is because of the remedial action that was recommended by the public protector, which of course President Zuma tried to take on review. But the public protector essentially gives us a roadmap and argues that we need to get to the root and to the heart of the matter, and it is in the national interest. Academics have described the state capture that happened as akin to a coup. Now, the Official Secrets Act is, of course, binding, and as someone who's worked in the security sector, you are completely aware of the limitations that that places on you. But in the light of what the Zondo Commission is set up to do, do you think that it will make provision for someone like yourself, for someone like Gibson and Njenje, and for others who are in similar positions to you to actually come forward and speak to this issue?
I have full confidence in the commission that they would be able to create the proper atmosphere and environment for us to do so.
Okay,
so now, I have no doubt about that.
Okay, Mr. Sheikh, I have to do my job, and of course you are going to answer the way you answer. But the story says very clearly that you learned of this relationship. You warned the president that it was dangerous because this man was a fugitive. The president asked you to sit down with Mr. Duduzani Zuma. Now, this is in the affidavit of a criminal. Now, criminals often write affidavits because they want to make deals. They want to lessen their sentences and so on. But we heard from the journalist that there is actually a record of the $2.5 million that he paid for getting asylum, and that sits with criminal intelligence. There's also the other very real problem that one of the police officers investigating this matter is now the chief security officer for a sitting mayor of Ekurhuleni. And we know that IPED is also investigating this matter. So the criminal justice system also looks very, very compromised. We know that Robert McBride is asking for declassification of information. Firstly, do you support the call for declassification of information so that we can get to the truth and we can establish whether or not the state was actually outsourced to a private family? And more importantly, the issue of Mr. Duduzani Zuma. It is not the first time that his name comes up. Former ministers have implicated him. Directors General has implicated him. And very little has happened to him. He's going to cross-question some of the people who've gone before the commission. But he seems to be very central to the way in which the state capture has happened.
On the first question, Karima, you would know that I am a firm believer in human security and not in state security paradigms.
Mm-hmm.
And human security demands that if there is a conflict between national security and the public right to know, it is the public right to know that must prevail.
Okay.
Because fundamentally, it is an informed citizenry that ultimately are the defenders of democracy,
mm-hmm.
not the state.
Yes.
So I'm a supporter in that regard. You could say I'm a supporter of declassification. And insofar as any efforts that I have in relation to the commission, you can take it that I would be requesting that whatever information pertains to my evidence, I would ask for declassification.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first part.
Absolutely. The second part?
The second part, in relation to all of those matters, I hear you when you say that criminals can be desperate, and that needs to be investigated properly. It needs to be investigated. The facts need to be checked, whether the recordings are authentic or not. And then the investigating authorities must make their recommendation to the prosecuting authority whether they would prosecute or not. And, of course, the prosecuting authority has to apply their test of whether there would be a reasonable conviction, etc. So it's a matter that's in the law enforcement hands at the moment.
Mm-hmm. A final question, Mr. Sheikh. When you were released from your job, it was done in a way that the entire house was cleared. And there were lots of reports that you were removed because you had in fact investigated the Guptas. And of course, again, these Secrets Act apply. I'm not asking you to confirm or to deny, but is that something that if the Commission of Inquiry makes the proper arrangements for you to go and give evidence without you incurring potentially arrest as a result of the Secrets Act, is that something that you would also be prepared to talk about?
Tema, you'll know that this is not the first time that I will be subpoenaed before a commission.
Yes.
I have always taken the view that as a citizen of the country, I have certain obligations to the democracy I enjoy.
Yes.
And part of that obligation is to ensure that our country is free from the ills of state capture, etc. So I'm at some point, and I would have to make that determination whether my conscience about promoting democracy in the country means even if some of us may have to be prosecuted, so be it. It won't be the first time that we have taken such a choice in the history of South Africa.
All right, Mr. Mo Sheikh, thank you very much for your time. That's the former head of South Africa's Secret Service, Mr. Mo Sheikh, speaking to us there about the conditions which will have to be created for people like himself to give evidence before the Commission of Inquiry into State Capture, which, by the way, resumes tomorrow.